I thought they played well against the Leafs the first night.
So that's Johnny what it looked like.
Yeah, I thought they looked. I thought they were fine. I didn't think they played great. Open. I don't think either team did. But join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson. What was that last night with Montreal and Buffalo?
That was ugly, boys. Like that was not. Listen, Buffalo's an NHL team. They're going to win 25, 30 games, whatever it is. They're going to beat teams. But Montreal played really poorly. They looked slow. Buffalo looked much faster, much crisper, much more skilled, which they aren't. And I don't want to hear about back-to-backs. It's the second game of the year, and you came from Toronto. Like, I mean, you're in your hotel room by 12:30 at night. It's not like you have time to complain about, you know, it's tiring, tough travel. Like, please. It was not good. And it's, there's probably some issue raised. The fact that Dominique Ducharme spent all training camp playing the same kind of lines together, and those lines lasted for five periods. In the second period of the second game, he had the bingo ball hopper out and was shuffling the deck and trying to find solutions because he knew it was not working.
Yeah, not a good sign. And, you know, again, he was the cup final and the pursuit, them being in it is kind of adjusted the line, so to speak, in terms of what the expectations are with this team maybe. Although I don't think that's the case in Montreal. I think people know they were a team that they struggled down the stretch of the regular season. They got hot in the playoffs. Unbelievable miracle run. Good for them. But now no Price, no Weber. Dano's left. And it's a tough start. I mean, I think if you're being reasonable, Montreal's going to have to fight for a playoff spot. And I think Ducharme kind of knows it. And that was basically what I took from his comments when he was referencing the cup final and where they happen to be today.
Yeah, I think they're being realistic. Now, you know, fans might get excited, but even the fans can appreciate how unique and special last year's run was, and unlikely. And I think the fact that, I mean, because even if Carey Price was around, they are still the fifth best team in their division. So maybe they can make it as the fifth best team. Maybe they can beat one of those teams out. But looking at the year before it starts, they're not better than Toronto, Tampa, Florida, Boston. And that's before Carey Price had left. So with no Weber, no Price, all the feel-good stuff from the year before doesn't really matter for them this year. I think they had the 18th best points last year. Like, it's not like they were an elite team last year. They just won an elite run, and they know that. So we'll see how it goes. It's one game. It was a bad one. We'll see what happens this weekend. But there are some question marks there. They got to sort some things out. They're thin on defense. Without Weber, without Edmondson, they're thin on D. Ducharme doesn't trust Kulak, doesn't trust Romanov, doesn't trust Weidman. That's half your D he doesn't like.
Yeah, that Romanov looked terrible both nights, actually, if you ask me. I think he looks he looks out of place, personally. But, he looks uncomfortable and out of place, kind of lost, standing around quite a bit with his reads. But I know we're not going to talk much about this team this season, but what did you see out of Buffalo? Because I mean, I watched the highlights and I went back on NHL.com today to kind of check some things out. Any bright spots other than Montreal look terrible?
I mean, Kyle Okposo turned back the clock. Like, I don't think he's going to have a great year, but I mean, I'm happy for him. He's a good veteran player. He has had a hard time living up to that 7-year, $42 million contract. He's had off-ice health issues, like serious health scares. And he hasn't been a very good NHL player, despite him wanting to be. He was awesome. He was skating like he was, 7 years younger. I thought I was really impressed with him. And that Victor Olofsson, he shoots the puck like he absolutely can just laser it. He doesn't do much out there. He's kind of quiet, doesn't have the puck on a stick the whole time. But it just comes off his stick differently. And whether it's a one-time, whether it's a wrist, you can see why that guy scores so many power play goals, because he can shoot it at a really high level.
Johnny, we were talking about the Leafs, and it's not panic mode. Jason Spezza even said it today, we're not panicking. But what do you make of kind of two lackluster starts? Is it just, it's not panicky, but it probably got a couple people's attention in the organization where it's like, guys, okay, joke's over here. Let's maybe start like refreshed and ready to rock here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Austin is such an important player. If he's not going to be around, a lot of things change. The entire dynamic of the team changes. Their power play changes. So, getting him back will be significant. The biggest place that I would be concerned, not panic of the team, they're going to be fine, is that Muzzin and Hall have generally been rock solid as a pair. And Muzzin and whoever have been really effective. And through two games, they haven't been. To me, that's kind of been the most glaring, surprising development that I would be paying closer attention to. Like, what's happening there? Muzzin hasn't been particularly good through two games, and Hull as well. They need those two guys to be really good. They talk about their top four and how set they are and how good they are in that area. Well, you know, that's because Jake Muzzin carries his partners and makes them look really good, and he hasn't done it yet. So that's something I'd be paying attention to.
Yeah, Muzzin's been shaky with the puck on his stick.
Weirdly. You
know, weirdly. Yeah. Like, kind of routine outlet passes that are grenades right now on his stick. And, like, he's not a guy that's flash. He's not a guy that even stick handles much, quite frankly. Like, it's pretty meat and potatoes, but he's making those plays look sloppy. And that leads to turnovers, cycles going the other way, long shifts, and then it's been getting ugly. We've talked extensively today about Tavares and Marner, and a look on both of them in terms of the energy, the spark, where I anticipated a great start from both guys because of the summer that they just had, what happened against the Habs in the playoffs. Marner in particular, because he's been hit the hardest in terms of criticism, in terms of oxygen being spent on him. And I haven't seen a really great spark out of him. And Tavares has looked more like a second-line center being asked to play first-line minutes when that shouldn't be the case because he's more than capable of doing it. What do you make of them through two games?
Yeah, very much the same. Very much the same. For different reasons, you were expecting big things. I thought this was an opportunity for John Tavares without Austin there to say, you know what, I'm a point-of-game player. I'm a number one centerman. Even if I'm not the number one centerman when Austin Matthews is healthy, I'm still capable of doing it. I can drive a line with Mitch or with Willie or with whoever. He hasn't been great. And for Mitch, too, you know, I'm almost sympathetic because he's still quite young in his life, even though he's experienced in his NHL career. And I imagine that there'd be a lot of kind of noise going through his own head, whether it's external or just internal, about, you know, how do I approach this year? How do I block out, you know, the negative energy that has surrounded him? He talked about canceling his social media. You know, do I do more? Do I do less? Do I have to change my game? Like, all these kind of this dialogue. And I would be curious to have sit him down with a sports psychologist or coach and be like, you know, where is he at as far as how he feels about himself? Because he should feel great, even though he maybe doesn't. And he hasn't played with that kind of energy and freedom. And when he's at his best, it kind of looks like he's having fun, right? Like he's like a young kid playing hockey for fun. And you don't see that. Now, some of that's because the team hasn't played great. They haven't got the service. They've been in their own end. Those different things. The power play is still a work in progress. But, yeah, I'm surprised, but I would be curious to see what if Mitch Marner was being honest, like how he really feels about what's going on, where he's at, and his own game.
Yeah, I'm reading the same tea leaves. Like I think his body language would suggest frustration at times. You know, early in the season, I think it would have been tough for him. I'm sure right. What he's human. You know, this is his hometown. He can't escape it. He knows. You know, he can play coy as much as he wants about turning it off, shutting it off, white noise. That white noise is loud, man. It can penetrate. Like, it can get through rooms. It can get through computers and phones.
Listen, Brian, Joe knows this. Like, I didn't play with Toronto when there was social media. I certainly didn't listen to, you know, talk radio on the way home from the rink or wherever. But my parents did. Or my parents' right. friends did. So, like, I didn't know. I didn't read the paper. I didn't listen to talk shows. But my mom would call me like, hey, they said this about you. Hey, like, you talk about trying to control the noise against you. Well, you know, you can't control it from your family, from your friends, because they're human. They want to follow along with you as well. So I think he probably is still absolutely hearing anything. But what he should hear is like, he was the best winger in the NHL last year, best, you know, first team all league. You got to remind yourself of that, not just the negative part about the way the season ended.
Well,
it's
that's,
true.
Yeah,
it is
true.
He's a fantastic player, and I understand, you know, being from the outside, I understand the vitriol, I understand the passion from the fans, but, you know, as you just said, Johnny, sometimes, you know, you can't escape the noise as much as you say you want to or do. It's everywhere, everywhere he turns. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, you know, I drive out of my house and turn right. There's him on a billboard, you know, a green billboard. I don't know. It's some bank or something, you know, like,
yeah,
listen, like he's embraced this market. You said it best. I think one of the first shows of the year where you were like, this is a new year, let's look forward instead of looking back. But he's had two opportunities to go out and make a statement too. He's got another one tomorrow, he's got another one Monday. So, you know, it may not be the start that he envisioned for the first 120 minutes of this season, but he's got a ton of time
here.
And like, I think he's just got to compartmentalize sometimes. But it's tough to do when you're living in the moment. And to your point, Johnny, and you guys have been through it, parents, friends, you know, everyone's living and breathing.
And they can't help you when you're playing. It's true. You, right? Like, there was that shot of Dubas in the Amazon doc. Like, we believe in you, go get it.
Right.
When he's on the ice, it's only him that can do it. You know, with the help of his teammates, clearly.
Agreed.
But in terms of him pushing the buttons and moving in the right direction, it's on him. So, you know, we'll see what comes of it tomorrow night. And there's no word on Matthews to suggest that he will play tomorrow night. Brady Tkachuk, we don't believe, will play tomorrow night. But right back at it with Ottawa in town. And, you know, there's big things happening throughout the league. Calgary still hasn't played. Like, they don't play. How difficult would that be if you're the Flames?
Wow.
Like,
sorry to interrupt, but could you imagine the amount of intensity Daryl Sutter will have tomorrow in Edmonton?
God.
He's sitting there watching for a week. Like, and I just read a stat where the Flames have won or lost like 11 home opener or 11 first games in a row, something crazy like that. Like, Daryl will have that stat written on the board to let them know. Like, it's insane, like, having to wait this amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going against Edmonton, which is, you know, bad of Alberta.
Night.
Right.
Yep. No, it'll be good. Yeah, we'll see what they got.
The last thing you want is 4 days off at the end of the year. Like, give me those 4 days off in January, in March. I need 4 days break before we even start.
No kidding. Well, and in Calgary, they're message is we're turning over a new leaf, new vibe, and it really comes down to one player for me. It's Mark Giordano not being there anymore. He's been a mainstay for 15 years. But outside of that, like, how different do we expect Calgary really to play or to look? I mean, it's going to be driven by Tkachuk and Goudreau and Monahan, and Markstrom's got to be way better.
Doesn't it feel like the difference will be not in personnel, but if those same players play drastically different under Daryl Sutter?
Right.
Like, they're the same guys, but can he somehow shape them into something else than maybe what they've seen the last couple of years? Because, as you mentioned, like, Blake Coleman's there, Zadorov's there. Like, they're good players, but they're not going to change the direction of the franchise. The core group is the core group, and that's what I want to see. Like, how do they respond to Daryl on a full training camp and a full year, and do they play differently? Do they look differently?
Yeah,
we'll find out.
I'd circle two guys, Tkachuk and Markstrom, because both of them didn't, by their standards, have the seasons that they expected last year, and those will be the two that drive that team. Goudreau's on expiring contract, and there's always question marks around the core, but like Tkachuk, he's got an opportunity to grab that team, and Markstrom, I think he's a rock star goaltender. So, you know, you sign the big deal, you got to go out and prove it every night. And I think it's going to be a throwback. I think he's going to play 65 games there, which is, you know, they're going to go, they'll buck the analytic trend a little bit there. Like, he'll play back-to-back and all of that. Like, he's an absolute horse when he gets going. So that's, to me, the X factors there in Calgary.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we'll find out tomorrow night. We'll see what Uncle Daryl's got in store for the Flames at the Oilers. Battle of Alberta 1.0 this season. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.